Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
What up, world? Welcome on and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch us live every day as close as we can get to 3 o'clock Central Time. You can watch live on my Twitter or Periscope. That's at RJ Ochoa, or on the Blogging the Boys Facebook live feed. If you're a podcast listener, subscribe to the Blogging the Boys podcast feed on all Apple and Android devices, and you'll get access to all of our different shows. Happy Hump Day. It is Wednesday, January 9th, 2018, and while it's Wednesday to normal people in Dallas Cowboys world, it is actually Thursday. It's Thursday because the Cowboys obviously played on Saturday last week when they defeated the Seattle Seahawks in the wild card round, and they play again on this Saturday night when they take on the Los Angeles Rams in the divisional round. So everybody's got to bump a day up and stuff like that, and so everything's weird when it comes to scheduling and whatnot, but the Cowboys do play in 3 days. It's rapidly approaching. It's going to be epic. I think it's going to be big. It's going to be one of the biggest Cowboys games we've ever seen. I don't think that is putting it lightly. And so before we get to the Cowboys and who they are this week and what they have ahead of them this week, it is important to address the NFL head coaching circle. We didn't have a chance to Ocho Live on Tuesday, but news coming out, obviously, that Cliff Kingsbury being hired by the Arizona Cardinals, that is interesting to see. And news coming out that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are hiring, or have hired, I should say, Bruce Arians. Now, you look at this, and the reason that the Tampa Bay hire is notable to the Cowboys is that they were one of the three teams that interviewed Cowboys secondary coach and passing game coordinator Chris Richard. With Bruce Arians taking that job, it seems like, obviously, Chris Richard will not be the coach of the Buccaneers. And so you look at it, Chris Richard obviously did also interview with the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. Nothing is official, but I think if everybody had to bet, it does kind of seem like Mike McCarthy is headed to be the head coach of the Jets. We will see what happens there. Right now, the Miami Dolphins are the bullet to dodge. Alex Marvez, who does a lot of work for SiriusXM NFL Radio, did have a tweet earlier on Wednesday afternoon saying that nothing was official, but from the people he had spoken to, he would be shocked if Chris Richard was not the head coach of the Dolphins. If you want Richard to stay, fingers crossed that things go one way for Chris Richard staying with the Cowboys. Obviously, we want the best for Chris Richard. We're all just being selfish because we know what he brings to the Cowboys. So we'll see what happens. Akeem on BTB's Facebook Live feed in all caps says, Chris Richard to South Beach. You know, South Beach, nice place to live this time of year, you know, where it's cool outside. You know, and I say that in San Antonio, Texas, of all places. I have to imagine South Beach is quite nice. But we will see what happens with Chris Richard. Something else that needs to be discussed, I wrote about this on Wednesday at bloggingtheboys.com, and a lot of people have been talking about this. The field at the Los Angeles Coliseum where the Rams play, obviously where USC plays, one of the more famous stadiums in American professional sports history. The Coliseum, again, it's ripe with history. Lots of events, lots of things have happened out there over the course of time, but because it is so historic, it's also so old, and it's such a piece of crap, if we're being honest. If you've ever been to the LA Coliseum, you know that it is a little bit run down. It's hardly the mammoth of entertainment that AT&T Stadium is. And so what is concerning when it comes to the Los Angeles Coliseum is the field. And, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but I just imagine that the field is kind of important when it comes to playing football. And so the field is concerning, you know, and if you go read this, what I wrote again at bloggingtheboys.com, you can see some video footage from last year's playoff game between the Rams and Falcons in the wild card round that Atlanta won. one. You can see Todd Gurley slipping at times. You can see Matt Ryan slipping at times. There, at one point in time, it did look like we were going to get some rain on Saturday night in Los Angeles. That does seem like it has dissipated, and there will not be any rain. But the problem, and again, I'm a South Texas native, so this has hardly ever been my problem in life. But the problem is the Los Angeles area gets a lot of dew at night, and so that could make for a slippery field and some slippery situations. Ray Sandoval on B2B's Facebook Live, he says it will be slippery. That is not good. That is no bueno. You don't ever want to see a slippery field in any game, in any sport. So that is something that needs to, it's just be on the minds of the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Jason Garrett said on Wednesday in his normal press conference that the Cowboys were going to be practicing outside. They did not practice inside the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco. They practiced outside because he wanted to emulate and simulate the conditions as much as he could. And, it's a little chilly right now in North Texas, but overall, it's a nice day outside. Certainly not too frigid, too cold, but we'll see. This is a really important thing, and it's a really sad thing, if we're being honest, that this is a concern in the year 2019. We can send people to Mars, we have doorbells that you can talk to people through, but we still have to worry about the field in professional football. It's kind of absurd when you really think about it. But let's move on. Let's talk about the game itself. And I had a tweet that triggered a lot of Rams fans, if I'm being honest. I tweeted out just Dak Prescott and Jared Goff's career statistics. And a lot of Rams fans, again, getting a little triggered. The Dak situation is one that pokes some people, that prods some people. But if you consider who Dak Prescott has been, over 48 games with the Dallas Cowboys, he has started every game since being drafted by them. He has a 66.1% completion percentage. He has over 10,000 career passing yards, almost 10,900, 10,876 to be precise. He has 67 passing touchdowns and 25 interceptions with a 32-16 record. Jared Goff has played in 10 less games than Dak Prescott, if we're being fair. And if you even look at Dak Prescott's games, he technically started the game in Philadelphia in his rookie season, didn't really play. There's all sorts of ways you could break this up and look at it one way or another, whatever. The point remains, Jared Goff has started 10 less games than Dak Prescott, and he has a lower completion percentage. He's only 772 of 1243. That is good for a 62.1% completion percentage, which is about 4% less than Dak Prescott, which is interesting because Dak Prescott's accuracy is what so many people love to point at. Yet from a percentage standpoint on his career, he is more accurate than Jared Goff. Jared Goff does have less yardage than Dak Prescott, about 1,300 less yards. But again, to be fair, Dak does have about 10 games on him, so you can't really compare that number. Jared Goff also has 65 touchdowns, and in 38 games, he has two less than Dak Prescott, who has two more than he does. However, Jared Goff has played in 10 less games than Dak Prescott on his career, and he has still thrown one more interception for those that feel like Dak Prescott is just full of interceptions. Jared Goff obviously has a 24-14 career record. Again, did not start every game his rookie season. That was the Jeff Fisher year. You can add all sorts of qualifiers to these guys. You can say Jared Goff had Jeff Fisher his rookie season, didn't have Sean McVay. Well, Dak Prescott didn't have Zeke Elliott for a stretch in the middle of 2017. So there's a lot to go back and forth there. The question is, this is the important question, this is the biggest question, because we know that Todd Gurley and Ezekiel Elliott are going to be monsters for both teams on Saturday night. The question is, if you could have one, if you had one game to win, and everybody's got one game to win this Saturday night at the Coliseum with that crappy turf, if you had one game to win, and you could have Dak Prescott or Jared Goff, who are you taking? Your answers on Twitter, Periscope, and the Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed. There's an argument to be made for either one because Jared Goff, probably the better overall passer. Dak Prescott, you know, of all the statistics we measured, doesn't include his career rushing performance. Dak Prescott's abilities on the ground certainly make him a different quarterback. Every answer so far on Periscope and Twitter, and to be fair, we're a Cowboy show, so we're a little bit slanted. Every answer is Dak Prescott. Every single answer that we have seen on Twitter, Periscope, and the Blog on the Boys Facebook live feed. The comment right there, Dak Dak is more elusive than Goff. And I agree with that. I mean, I really do. Tyler Fox is a great point. Tyler Fox, 293 on Periscope. Quarters 1-3, Goff, but when the game is on the line, Dak. And similarly, Jay Diasio on Periscope says, Dak, he's a winner. Curly Lovitz says, Goff, trash. I wouldn't go that far. You know, hey, you know, whatever. But the point remains that Dak does have a very interesting gear. And that's kind of the Dak conundrum as a whole. This is a microcosm of that. Is would you rather take Jared Goff, who's kind of safe? Jared Goff's kind of the layup, but Dak Prescott's kind of like Roy McAvoy in Tin Cup. I mean, he's going to get on the green on 18 with the tournament on the line. That's just who Dak Prescott is. There's something about him and his MO and his disposition and the way Dak Prescott operates that he is going to find a way to win. He's going to will his way to victory. That sounds lame and it sounds cliche and it sounds cheesy and it sounds like it's not real and it sounds like it's only in movies. But the reality is that it is the truth. Justin Trevor Pelletier on BTB's Facebook Live, he says, Goff has so many more weapons to work with. Given what he has done with less, I would take Dak at this point. And you think about this, you know, people love to add qualifiers and people love to, use things for certain arguments and not use them for others, etc. And let's look at who the quarterbacks are. When it comes down to Sean McVay and Jason Garrett, who would you take? I'm asking rhetorically because I believe a majority of you would take Sean McVay. I mean, dude, Sean McVay knows everybody's names. Of course you would take Sean McVay. He's a genius. All kidding aside, I think everybody would take Sean McVay. Obviously, the running backs are kind of a wash for Dak and Jared Goff because Zeke, Todd Gurley, you could get really finicky debating that. But again, kind of a wash. You look at their receiving corps. Yes, Dak Prescott does have Amari Cooper, but Jared Goff has Brandon Cooks. He has Robert Woods. At one point in time, he had Cooper Kupp. It certainly stands to reason that Jared Goff has had the heavier arsenal all season long. Curly Lovett on Periscope says Dak has Zeke, Cooper, Beasley, and Austin. Again, no slight to Cole Beasley or Tavon Austin or Michael Gallup or whoever. And while Jared Goff is operating without Cooper Kupp, again, the Rams' overall wide receiver core is better than the Cowboys. And again, I know we already said McVay, but what Jared Goff has in Sean McVay is so powerful. To a degree, you know, and remove Jason Garrett from this discussion, so many people, and in fact, I would argue 100% of you, whether you're listening or watching, believe that Scott Linehan inhibits what Dak Prescott is able to do. And you think about that, Dak Prescott is able to accomplish the things that he is almost in spite of Scott Linehan at times. Meanwhile, Jared Goff has Sean McVay working for him and in his direction constantly, in an ever-flowing and ever-moving direction. But Dak Prescott does not have that function or that ability. So I really, you know, it sounds crazy when you think about this, but Dak Prescott has kind of had a very similar, you know, sort of season to Dak Prescott. In fact, you know, we talked about their career numbers, but here's what Dak and Jared Goff have done this season. This is just 2018. This does not include the playoff game that Dak Prescott played against the Seahawks. And obviously Jared Goff, you know, and the Rams have been incredible, etc. But Dak Prescott this season, 356 of 526. That is a 67.7% completion percentage. Meanwhile, Jared Goff, 364 of 561. That is only a 64.9% completion percentage. Dak Prescott is more accurate than Jared Goff this season. We're not talking about Dak's rookie year. We're not talking about anything else. We're talking about the best year of Jared Goff's career, which is unquestionably this year, with what the Rams have accomplished in their first-round bye and whatnot. And Dak Prescott is still the more accurate passer. Dak Prescott has 3,885 yards this season. Jared Goff crushed that, has 4,700 yards almost passing. But we know that Jared Goff passes more than Dak Prescott. Dak has 22 touchdowns through the air. Meanwhile, Jared Goff has 32 touchdowns through the air. What I think gets, I don't want to say forgotten, but I think what gets overvalued or undervalued, whatever you want to say. But Dak Prescott, does anybody know, without looking, if you're watching live, does anybody know how many interceptions that Dak Prescott threw in 2018? Just this season, and we're not counting the game against the Seahawks. Obviously, he did throw one in that game, the KJ Wright miraculous one. But does anybody know, whether you're watching on Twitter, Periscope, or the Blog of the Boys Facebook live feed, how many interceptions Dak Prescott threw? Coach CP2 says 11, Tyler Fox says 6. We have the correct answer already from a few of you on Periscope. Nicholas, Donnie, and Chris get it right. Dak Prescott, appropriately for Ocho Live, threw 8 interceptions in 2018. He threw 4 his rookie season, obviously ballooned up in 2017, but only 8. You know, people act like Dak is just this horrible passer, etc., and he turns the ball over, and yes, he did have fumbling issues, but the point remains that he only threw 8 interceptions. Meanwhile, Jared Goff threw 12 interceptions. Jared Goff threw 12 interceptions, meanwhile, Dak Prescott threw only 8. Jared Goff threw 50% more interceptions than Dak Prescott did. That's a very interesting number when you think about it. Meanwhile, obviously the difference between who they are, Dak Prescott, Jared Goff. Jared is, without question, the better passer, the better pocket quarterback, but Dak Prescott, as a lot of you have mentioned, is more elusive. The question from Donnie, how many of those picks that Goff has thrown has been on deep shots, though? That's a good question. That's a fair question to Jared Goff, but to Dak Prescott's credit, how many of Dak Prescott's interceptions have been tipped by his own receiver? I know we didn't count the one against Seattle last week, but that was tipped off the Noah Brown play and the pass interference. You think about the interceptions he had against Houston, there were plenty of Dak Prescott interceptions. The two in Seattle earlier this season on the road, those were tipped passes. You could get detailed and finicky with this all the way around. But Dak Prescott has 75 rushing attempts in 2018. Meanwhile, Jared Goff, in his slower wheels, only had 43 rushing attempts. Meanwhile, Dak Prescott had 305 yards on the ground. Jared Goff only 108. Dak Prescott 6 rushing touchdowns to Jared Goff's 2. When you consider the overall package of who they are, and when you factor in Dak's will, his drive, his extra gear, his whatever you want to call it, he has it. And Jared Goff does it. You know, I don't mean to turn this into just a bashing of the Rams, and we're having a little bit of fun, but the world has kind of anointed the Rams. I mean, the world has kind of crowned the Rams to a degree. I think, you know, in a world where people value playoff wins and, you know, what have you done for me lately sort of realm, Sean McVay's Rams have never won a playoff game. Neither has, obviously, Jared Goff. So there's a little bit on the line for them to prove here. And, you know, the Cowboys are a little bit more battle-tested. Honestly, if you're being honest with yourself, the Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott and even Jason Garrett and Zeke Elliott and everybody else, they are more battle-tested than these Rams. These Rams, their only taste of playoff experience was last season in the wild card round on that slippery turf in LA against those Atlanta Falcons. And what was the difference between those Rams and the Falcons? I'm guilty of undervaluing the 2017 Atlanta Falcons. Let's see. Periscope, we lost you for 1 second. We're back. To finish that thought, I'm guilty of undervaluing the 2017 Atlanta Falcons. But the difference between those Falcons that night in Los Angeles a year ago is that they were more battle-tested. Those Falcons had been through a lot of things, obviously losing the Super Bowl 28-3 the year before, etc. The Rams are not battle-tested. You know, I think there is a lot of value in losing close playoff games, in having been there and having it taken away from you, and I think we've seen that with the Dallas Cowboys. We have not seen that with the Rams. I think that there are a lot of interesting sort of X factors in that way, and Dak Prescott's kind of emblematic of all of that. He is that guy who's been there and done it, and so I think it's fair to take Dak Prescott over Jared Goff. That's a little sort of interesting way to look at this, but that about does it for Wednesday's episode of Ocho Live. We will be back tomorrow on Thursday, although it's Friday in Dallas Cowboys, where we will be back on Thursday for another edition of all of this, another sort of lap around the bend, 3 p.m. Central Time. If you want to join us on Twitter, Periscope, or the Blog of the Boys Facebook Live feed, between now and then, make sure you have a fantastic Wednesday night. Have just the best Wednesday night and have the absolute best Thursday morning. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys and peace out.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
And we're back for season three, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.